Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is episode 125. I'm so glad you're here. I'm talking to Micah Maddox today. It is really a good day, you guys. I have been sick for, I think it was like I had the flu for maybe 3 years. I'm not sure. Time gets away from you when you're sick. I was super proactive in the beginning of the year and made a retreat date for my husband and I. We were going to go separately and take turns watching the kids, but it was going to be amazing time to just sit and listen and rejuvenate. And I got sick. So that's, I just basically slept and very anticlimactic. A giant bummer to spend the money and take the time and only sleep and feel like death. But it's actually good for me because I like to think I am valuable based on what I accomplish. And so I didn't accomplish nothing. I'm holding on to the hope that I'm still valuable. So anyway, enough about that. Micah Maddox. It's a pretty cool name, right? Sounds like a rock star or like a fancy bag designer. I bet she wears leather pants on a regular basis. I forgot to ask her that, but it seems like a leather pants wearing name to me. Ladies who wear leather pants are a beautiful mystery to me. I don't understand them, but I think they're great. And the more I think about it, I kind of think leather pants might actually be a good solution for me because of my thighs rubbing together, putting holes in my jeans. You guys remember that from our last Problem Solved segment with Rebecca? I laid it all out there, that embarrassing fact. Maybe I just need some leather reinforced thigh areas. That makes me think of Ross. Remember Friends of Ancient Days? The Friends show of yore? Where Ross couldn't get back in his leather pants, so he ended up covering himself in lotion in the bathroom, and it was a disaster. Poor Ross. Anyway, leather pants makes me think of Ross. And then, as I was writing what I wanted to talk to you about, Micah talks a lot in the show about closure and getting closure. And that, of course, since we're already thinking about Friends, made me think about Rachel and that scene where she's breaking up with Ross. Poor lotiony leather pants to Ross. And she borrows a cell phone from a guy at a table next to her at the restaurant, because this was pre everybody has a cell phone. And she tells Ross, "I'm over you." And that, my friend, is what we call closure. I wish closure was that easy. It's not that easy. It's just making a cell phone call. It's not like closing a door or like closing the refrigerator, which I need to do more of. It's like closing a wound. It's slow, it's painful, and it's really complicated. So in the show, we talk about what Micah was looking for closure for. She was looking for closure from her pastor dad, who just walked out on the family, walked out on his belief in God, and there is not a happy ending to that. And so I think we want there to be a happy ending, but there's not. I mean, there's a happy ending in that Micah learned some really important lessons, but he doesn't like come home at the end with a big good reason that makes it okay. But Micah learned a lot of things. God, as usual, remained faithful, and you are really going to love to hear what Micah has to say. Real quick, though, the wellness revelation, that small group that I'm leading women through. We are halfway done with the one I started in January, and there's one that starts March 12th. So in about a month, there are 4 spots left. It includes a weekly Zoom call with me, which is like a conference call. We can see each other and hear each other. There's videos to watch each week. There's readings each week. There's Bible study. There's workouts if you choose to do those, and a lot of community. There's a private Facebook group that we all interact on, and so it's really a very valuable, I mean, I learn something every single time I go through it. So if you are interested in that, it's on Monday nights. Go to momstrugglingwell.com/journey and you can sign up for that. Again, there's only 4 spots left at the time of this recording. God weaves the groups together. So if you're feeling a tug to join, go ahead and do it. We'd love for you to experience this with us. It's been really neat to see the similarities in these women and the ways they're able to encourage each other and go, oh my gosh, you too, I had no idea. And they're coming together around very specific things just to this group. So I don't know, God is always at work. I love to see it firsthand. So again, if you're interested, momstrugglingwell.com/journey. So I don't know about you, but I'm really bad about taking care of my skin. I have so many people to take care of that my skin is not something that I tend to remember. But lately, I have definitely been better at it because of Tula. Tula is a line of probiotic superfood skincare products. I'm putting good stuff in my body, so I should also be putting quality, healthy stuff on my skin too. Tula is basically a healthy smoothie for your face. We know that probiotics are good for our tummies, but did you also know they're great for your skin? Probiotics are clinically proven to naturally strengthen the skin's defenses. In addition to probiotics, Tula products also have vitamin C, blueberry, and turmeric, which work to fight wrinkles, redness, and dehydration. I love how these products feel on my skin, and I enjoy knowing that I'm making a healthy choice all the way around. So go to Tula.com/MSW to try Tula probiotic skincare today. You'll get 20% off and free shipping on your order with the promo code at the top of the screen. So that's Tula, which is spelled Tula.com/MSW, and use the on-screen promo code for 20% off the purchase plus free shipping. That's Tula.com/MSW. All right, let's get to talking to the girl with the cool name, Micah Maddox. Hi, Micah. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so good. So will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am a pastor's wife, and we work at Spotswood Baptist Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Okay.
And my husband works with international missions and leads our choir and orchestra. So I kind of am his right hand with church stuff.
That is so many different things in the church.
Yeah, it is. He does a lot and he's amazing at it. He's done this for like 12 years, so long time. But we do that. And then on top of that, I'm also a mom of 4. So we range from ages 2 to 11. So we are in the thick of it.
Yeah. Okay. And so I want to talk about that because I know one of your kiddos is a foster kid.
Yep. Our youngest, our 2-year-old is our foster son.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I do want to talk about that. Before we started, though, I wanted to ask you a couple questions. I'm trying out some new questions.
Okay.
So who would you say would be a hero of the faith to you?
Like from the Bible or just a friend?
No,
or
yeah, it did, like probably just, I'm thinking like someone you know in real life, but whatever yeah, you want.
You know, for me, honestly, I have the amazing blessing to have my mom as an amazing godly mentor and leader and just someone that I can look up to. We've been through some tough stuff together. And so when I was 6 years old, my dad was a pastor and he left our family. Mm-hmm. And my mom stepped in and had to be both mom and dad, you know, and just bring us back together and really ground us and help us find our roots and where to land. And so I would say my mom is a hero of the faith. She is one who always quotes Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, you know, just acknowledge him. So that's immediate. That's who came to mind was my mom.
That's so great.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. Your dad being a pastor, and then now you're married to a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of that feel scary? Or did you ever think you'd be married to a pastor after all that?
So I was like terrified as a little girl of pastors because, you know, I knew that they're not perfect and they mess up and they make big mistakes that affect a lot of people. So as a little girl, yeah, I really struggled. And then more as an adult, I struggled. But there was this middle teenage years where God just really worked in my heart and kind of impressed and called me, I guess you could say, to ministry. So I knew that I would be eventually marrying a pastor. God just put that on my heart.
Okay.
Yeah. So then when I actually met my husband, we were in high school. And when marriage time came, you know, several years later, I struggled because I started kind of reliving and rehashing and wondering, kind of comparing him with my dad, I guess, you know, an unhealthy thing, but a realistic, you know, way to just work through what I'd been through. And I got some godly counsel and was able to work through those fears. And he's so good to just reassure me and just keep everything so up and up and so clear that he just proves himself over and over that he's not going to screw up, you know?
Yeah. So you wrote a book called Anchored, and it's about anchored in. And it's about the fact that we all anchor our lives to something. Mm-hmm. But the anchoring into God's presence is how we experience his power. And there's a reason that we write these type of books. There's an experience that happens. So what was it, your dad that was the main catalyst for writing this book, or why anchored in?
Yeah, when I began writing this book, I was going through a major change in my life. So we were moving from one church to another church. And so I was taking my kids who, you know, they had all their friends to no friends. And I had a group of friends to all of a sudden I didn't know anybody. And I was just going through a lot of change. And also my husband had just gotten over a severe illness and we thought we were going to lose him. So I was also like dealing with all of this, I don't know if you want to call it baggage or pain or what, but I was just dealing with a lot of internal struggle. And I was also dealing with the issue that I had with my dad and what he had done, because I didn't have closure.
Okay.
So
how old were you at this point?
This was 30. So, you know, okay. Big 30. Yeah. I felt like a grown up, and yet I felt like a little girl inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's really what compelled me to write the book, was I was just drenched in a sea of trouble, you know, like mm-hmm. life had just met me face to face and I couldn't press on. And so I began to just really seek God, and he taught me a few things. And I felt like, you know, I know there are other people struggling. I got to share this.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, so you put yourself out there with your dad. You tried, I'm assuming, to get that closure. Is that what happened? You reached back out?
Yeah.
So when he left, there was no relationship?
No. Yeah. No relationship. And then...
did he leave the church? Like, what was his justification for this being a fine thing to do?
I don't know that there was really a justification, but when he stepped out, he left the church, he left our family, he left everything that he knew and had for really, you know, it's a life of sin, you know? And so he stepped out into a world that was drawing him, and there wasn't an easy comeback. You know, when you're in a position of power and you make a mistake, there's not an easy comeback. Mm-hmm. So I guess the easiest way to put it is he didn't come back. Okay. And so, yeah, I dealt with that more as an adult than as a little girl.
Yeah. It doesn't go away.
No.
As I was reading through your book, I realized, like, my dad left, and we have a form of a relationship mm-hmm. now. But when he calls me, it's because he accidentally butt-dialed me. Like, that's the, you know, and so even, like, I'm almost 40, and every time I'm like, oh, it just hurts. I mean, I'm fine. I can, it's not like I go into a depression or anything, but right. It's funny that I'm not like, oh, whatever. Like it's more hurtful than that. And
yeah,
I'm 40.
I get it.
It's so dumb.
I get it. It's crazy how those things like from so long ago can feel so fresh today, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Ugh. So tell me about that. You sought the closure you needed in the midst of all this stuff going on.
Yeah. So I actually, you know, I did like the internet search thing that you can do these days.
Oh, like you literally didn't know where he was.
Oh yeah, literally.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Like no, like when I say like no communication, like none.
Okay.
So I started searching out online and just seeing, okay, surely there's got to be an address where I could send a letter or, you know, my letter of closure or something. I ended up coming across a telephone number that I knew had to be connected to him in some way.
Okay.
So I sent a text.
Wow. Were you so scared?
I wasn't scared until I got a reply.
Okay.
Then I was like terrified. Okay. But I sent
a text. What text did you say? What was it?
I just said, yeah, I can share. I just said, this is Micah. How is my dad? And so I got a reply right away that said, can he call you? So I knew at that moment that if I didn't say yes, that I would probably never be ready again. Like I was ready. I was seeking. Okay. I needed it. So I talked to him that day and I heard the words, I'm sorry. And I was able to offer the words, I forgive you. And it was like, I was in a place that I had never been before where I was able to like say, I forgive you and really mean it.
Okay.
And not have like a bitter spirit that I maybe had held on to for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. So that was an amazing freedom that I experienced, or closure, I guess you could say. But then following that, you know, there wasn't the fairy tale dream come true ending, and there wasn't a relationship that continued. So I struggled after that because I had experienced a little taste of freedom and then kind of got bound up all over again.
Did you have like expectations of what you hoped for, or did you just know you hoped there was something? How did that work?
Oh, girl, I hoped for like, I hoped that he would like come and like meet my kids and, you know, want to be a part of life and that I would be there with him. You know, I don't know. I had a very false idea of what it should have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's hard because, you know, that idea is God given. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So did he just like straight up say, nah, I'm not that into you? Or did he just show you by continuing to not be a part of things?
No, actually, he called again a couple other times. And one of the phone calls was just really tough. There was words that were said that were not true and justification. And God just really released me from it and confirmed in my heart that this wasn't healthy. And if I was going to move forward in my life, I needed to let go of something that was never going to be what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
It is. It sure is. I'm sorry that that happened.
You know, a lot of people are like, and it is like a gut-wrenching thing, but God has done so much through it that I wouldn't be who I am if it hadn't happened. So although it's terrible and ugly and painful, there's a beauty in it because God's redeemed me and freed me. And, you know, now I have a book to share with other people who are struggling, and hopefully they will be encouraged through my story.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I know I'm married to the most fantastic man. I mean, he is so steady and stable and kind, and he loves the Lord. And I think there's a lot of healing in watching him parent my kids. I don't know if you felt that, but...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I am married to an amazing man also. And, you know, he's shown me what true love is, what leadership is. And I had an adoptive father, too, who stepped in.
So
as you talked about your husband and I talk about mine, I can't help but leave my adoptive father out because he really came in and scooped up two kids who weren't his and loved us like we were his, you know. And he taught us what true love really is and what leadership is. So that's an amazing part of my story, too.
I love that. Okay, so let's talk then about foster care. Did you immediately go, I'm definitely going to be part of adoption, you know, because of my adoptive father, or?
No, I didn't think much about it at all in the early years. Really, in the last just few years, my husband and I have kind of explored and prayed and just really sought God's guidance. And is this something that you would want us to do? And so we thought that we were going to adopt a baby. So that was our goal. And we kind of, you know, wrestled through it. He'd be ready and then I wouldn't. And then I'd be ready and he wouldn't. So we just, you know, kind of did that tug of war thing and waited till we were on the same page. And eventually we were on the same page. We went to a meeting where they were going to present all the options for adoption. We didn't know that they were going to present foster care at that meeting.
They snuck it in.
They did. Yep. And we walked out of that meeting and we both got in the car and we looked at each other and just knew foster care is what we're supposed to do right now. And from there, it's been this amazing heart journey where we've just been consumed with a love for kids who just don't have any, you know? And so we are in the thick of foster care right now, but it's an amazing place to be.
Okay, so both my kids are adopted. We never could get pregnant. And so I've been a foster parent before, but I mean, I was foster parent to one and then she never left and then we weren't foster parents and then I adopted a baby. So it's not like I'm in the trenches fostering like the masses or anything. Not that fostering one is not incredibly hard. I know that it is. I mean, are you fostering to adopt or are you simply just kind of standing in the gap as foster parent now?
So right now we are standing in the gap. Our little one is not available for adoption. It's a complicated place to be because we love him like he's ours, but he's not, you know, and we don't know what his future holds. So it's like a day by day, you just give all you can give and know that God is in control of it. And it's hard. It's easy to say it, but there's a lot of tears and agony and prayers that happen around here because we love him to death, you know? So to think of him leaving us is so, so hard to even think about. But so right now, we're just in the trenches of it and doing what we know to do and just loving him the best that we can.
Yeah, it takes a whole lot of dependence on the Lord. I remember because my daughter, when she was my foster daughter, you know, she would call me mom and I'm like, well, I'm like kind of not your mom, but I am. Yeah. Like, but you need to be able to call somebody mom. But, yeah. You know, but also it was especially tricky because they didn't have children and I had wanted children. And so to hold something loosely and yet love strongly, it's hard. Yeah. You either hold on really tight and love strongly, or you want to just like have a lot of boundaries that aren't necessarily good to protect yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely what we got going on around here. And it's a roller coaster. You know, there's days that I pray, Lord, help us keep him. Yeah. You know, can we just keep him? And then I have to remember, you know, God has got it and he'll give us the grace to say goodbye, you know, if that's what he has. But you're right. There's boundaries you put up because our hearts are so sensitive and so tender.
I want to take a minute and tell you about another gracious sponsor of this week's show, Prep Dish. I don't know about you, but my February is completely jam-packed. I got kid field trips already, speaking at several events, just got over the flu, so my house looks like, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. My house is indescribable right now, but I know my friends are going to have an intervention if I don't sort that out. That's going to take a solid couple days. I'm busy. And if I'm not careful, all we're going to be eating is hot dogs and Goldfish crackers and the occasional granola bar when I feel like we need to be healthy. But that's not healthy. That is why I personally use Prep Dish. It's a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. I get an email each week with the grocery list and the prep instructions. And after a couple hours of prepping in the kitchen, my meals are mostly made for the whole week. It helps me feel like I'm not a complete failure as a mother and a wife and a human. This week, we are having roasted pork, a beef stew, and cashew chicken. Can't beat that. I love that the meals are gluten-free and paleo, so you know that they're whole foods, and you can add things if you are not gluten-free and paleo, but you have a great, healthy base of each meal. Allison, the founder of Prep Dish, is giving listeners to this show 2 weeks for free to try it out. Go to prepdish.com/MSW, and you can get started for free. That's prepdish.com/MSW for 2 weeks free. How has it been going with your biological kiddos?
So it's been a challenge. You know, I would be lying if I said, it's great. It's awesome. We have great moments, you know. So my biological kiddos are 7, 9, and 11. When we walked into foster care, we walked them in with us. When we went through training, we kind of did like our at-home kids training too. You know, we told them all that we could expect, all that we knew that might happen. We kind of shared with them openly and honestly and said, look, this is the way it is. This is the world of foster care. This is where these kids come from. And here it is. And so they walked in knowing that we would have kids come in our home, come and go, you know, but you know, when the first one left, that was traumatic. And my son, you know, he asked the hard questions. Why would God give me a brother and take him away? So we've walked through some of those hard days and conversations.
So you've had several kiddos come and go?
Not several, but a few. Yeah.
Okay. And how long do they typically stay? I know it varies, but...
It so varies. So 5 days to 5 months, you know.
Okay. How much of a lead time do you have on when they're going to leave so that you can prep your own kiddos?
So it varies also on that. Okay. So like one, it was like, you know, had to take the kid back the next day. So you get a call and you got to pack him up and take him that next day.
What is that last conversation like with the child that you're about to drive back to? Are they excited to go home? I'm assuming they would be.
So it's complicated because we don't really know all the details sometimes if they're going home, another foster home, what's, you know, the scoop. We've had younger kids, so sometimes there's not a lot of conversation about it because there's not a lot of comprehension of what's happening. It's just all a bunch of big, scary. They don't understand what is going on. The world is just being ripped up. That's complicated. Most of our conversations happen with our own kids because the kids we have are younger. So with my own, you know, we just walk through it and they knew that this was going to happen. So this is, and that's what we do. And we all bawl and cry and scream and it's terrible.
Okay.
You know, and then we just ask the Lord to heal our hearts and we open them up for the next one.
Can I ask you what I'm assuming a lot of moms are thinking? Is this worth doing that to your biological kids and your heart over and over?
Yeah, you know, that is a question that I think a lot of people ask. And, you know, we ask it ourselves regularly, you know, is this worth it? And the easy answer is yes. The real answer would be, so what foster care has done for our family is it has taught my kids that the world is a whole lot bigger than our house. And our house has a mom and a dad who love each other, who love God, and who teach the kids to love God and love each other, you know? Yeah. And what foster care has done is it's literally ushered suffering into the kitchen table and let them sit down and let my kids see it firsthand. So is it worth it? Yes, because it's teaching my kids, you know what? This world is a whole lot bigger than you, and it's a whole lot bigger than mommy. And here's someone who doesn't have, and we are going to give, and we're going to offer them what we do have, and we're going to show them what we have, and we're going to show them Jesus, and we're going to give them Jesus. And if they get a little tiny piece of Jesus while they're here and they walk out of this house, it's worth it, because that child has experienced for one little tiny bit Jesus. And for my kids to be able to see that, yeah, it breaks our hearts when the kid leaves, but for my kids to be able to have that to carry with them, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing that I couldn't teach them otherwise. Mm-hmm. Does it hurt? And is it going to affect them long term? Am I messing up my kids? You know, you know, I don't know. They may grow up and hate foster care and hate that we brought strangers in. But my prayer is that they will learn to love the unlovable. They will learn to love those that don't have anybody. And I think already I'm seeing a little fruit of that. You know, my daughter came home last week and said, there's a girl in my class who has a really hard life. And I just feel like I'm supposed to be her friend.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm like, okay. Part of the reason she's saying this is because we're living this.
Yes. And she can see what, because kids don't come out and go, hey, I'm having a really hard life. But they act in a way that you go, I've seen somebody act like this before.
Yes. So is it worth it for us? It's so worth it. And does it hurt? Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. Is it easy? No, it's terrible. But it's worth it.
I love it.
You know, let me share this with you. We went into this and I prayed, Lord, give us, you know, a kid that we can love, that we can keep, that we can have, you know. And the first child we got, I had to call social services and say, we can't do this, you know. And I said, Lord, you know, why didn't you answer my prayer? I don't understand. But God just said, Micah, you're not the savior. You're not the savior of these kids. Yeah. And I'm going to give you what I'm going to give you. And if that means that you have to humble yourself and say, this isn't right for our family, this is tearing our family apart right now. Okay. If I have to humble myself and say no, sometimes I got to say no. So there's this weird battle that we go through, but it keeps us so humble and so in tune with God, because we are just seeking him all the time.
Yeah. What was like the indication that you knew for sure, I have got to disrupt this placement? Like, this kiddo's not good for our family.
It was a safety issue, you know, for us, it was a safety issue. And the child had some behaviors that I literally could not keep him safe. So with that, we just prayed and asked the Lord, you know, would you please confirm to us that what we're thinking is right? Because Emily, I lost 4 pounds and I didn't shower for 5 days. So in 5 days, that was our life. And God was just clear that, yes, there's going to be suffering, but for your own kids that you do have, this isn't what it is going to be. And for some families, there will be families that will be able to tend to this child much better, but you're not it.
Okay. So then did that change the type of kids you were willing to accept? Or like, did they know it was going to be like this when they sent?
Definitely didn't know. Okay. We had no idea. It was an emergency kind of thing, you know, came in the middle of the night. Had no idea if the child could speak or what, you know, there was a lot of unknowns with it. So it was just an unknown situation. And would it change the child we would take? We didn't change any of our parameters after that, because we just felt like that was a step in our process.
How did you feel as a mom saying, yeah, you may not stay in our house? I feel like that would be so hard.
We just knew that it wasn't right. For us, it wasn't like a negative, like, you know, you're not going to be allowed here. It was a, there's a better place.
Okay.
There's a place where there's maybe, you know, maybe no other kids, where you can get the attention that you need. Because here, you know, the child really couldn't get the attention that they needed. It was a one-on-one kind of situation where they needed to be poured into, you know, no other distractions. And that just wasn't possible.
Do you have any indication of where they're going after you?
Sometimes, yes. Okay. In fact, with that specific child, you know, I've actually had contact with them since. So.
Okay. Because I would know they're not like heading to a home to have like a terrible, I don't know. Maybe I have control issues, but I would be like, is this better than where you're going, even if it's not good for us?
Yeah. And, you know, so those kind of things, you know, you have to just release and you have to know, what is it for me? What is God directing me to? Yeah. Because I'll tell you this, the next day we got another child and that child's been with us for a long time. Okay. It's been the right fit. It hasn't been easy, but it's been the right fit. And God just confirmed, look, this is what I had for you for this season. And so, yes, you made the right choice. So it's really just such a dependence on God, so much that, you know, it's a new dependence that we haven't experienced.
Yes.
It taps into a new grief that we've never experienced, because there's kind of a regular grieving that we go through, because you watch this child who has lost. They've lost everything they know. Mm-hmm. You know, their world literally has been ripped out from under them. And here they come with the clothes on their back.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. My daughter came with in pajamas and sparkly silver shoes and a pink stuffed animal that she still has, you know, 7 years later. You're just like, I can't, like, this is everything you have.
Yeah.
It is funny because it is only something God would do to invite all of that tragedy into your home on purpose over and over, right? Like, why would we want to do this? But it's because he did it for us.
Yeah. I know.
I'm like excited and petrified at the same time. So thanks for walking me through that.
Yeah.
So back to the anchoring. Thanks for taking that detour with me. So you said that we have to anchor ourselves in to God, so that his presence, so we can experience that power. And that sounds really great. But I think a lot of my listeners, they're maybe new to the faith or just so exhausted that sounds really great. But how do we actually anchor ourselves?
Yeah. So it's a process, you know, it's such a process. And so that's the reason I wrote a book about it, because it's not like a, here's what you do. But I think the first thing I would tell anybody is, first, you got to just really look at your life and say, okay, right now, what am I anchored in right now? You know, acknowledge that if it's not God and we're not experiencing his power and presence, what is it right now that's consuming me? And for a lot of your listeners, it's probably their kids right now. You know, we're just anchored in the mom life because they just take so much time and effort and energy, and we're just consumed and exhausted with motherhood. Mm-hmm. We never feel like we're measuring up. We never feel like we're good enough. We never feel like we can, you know, get it right. Mm-hmm. And I'm right there in the trenches, you know, laundry is like my evil, you know, it just is always there telling me I'm not good enough, you know?
Yes.
So for the first thing I would say is, see, what is it right now that's just all consuming?
Okay.
And then, you know, we got to decide to then evaluate what's the most important thing in my life. And for a lot of us would say, it's our kids. Okay, that's good. It's fine. But we really got to realize, you know, the most important thing is that I am grounded in my faith, that I am acknowledging God as the foundation of everything that I'm doing. So like for me, you know, I cannot be a good mom, a good foster mom, if I'm not first being with God. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? You know, being with God for me, that means every day, you know, I've really got to acknowledge God's presence in my life. So when I wake up, I have just made it a habit, like, to just pray first thing in the morning before I even like get my head off the pillow.
Okay.
Like, I just pray first thing in the morning, and it's not like this, like, oh, you know, amazing prayer. It's just like, okay, God, I'm awake. I'm breathing. You woke me up today again. So I need you, help, you know. A lot of my prayers are, I need you, help, what now? You know? And so that's the first thing that I do, first thing every day. And then from there, it really depends on my kids and my husband and what's happening. But there's a lot of practical tips I could give you, like, throughout the day, how to acknowledge God and how to make that happen. And I would encourage you, you know, go buy the book, because it really does walk you through practically, how do I do this step by step? But number one, what are you anchored in? And number two, okay, now acknowledge God. Acknowledge God, his presence in your life. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. It gets really intense.
Yeah. It's so hard, because we just get so consumed with life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just kids and it's not just our husband. Then it's, oh, we got a doctor's appointment and we got a bad report. Or, oh man, my family's falling apart. There's just stuff. Life is hard and there's issues. And so I would encourage anyone that's listening to just look at life, say, what's consuming me? What gets me all worked up, you know? Mm-hmm. And then acknowledge God in that place where you're at.
Okay. That's so good. And it'll just take a lifetime for us to practice it.
It's true. Every day. One day at a time.
Exactly. Okay. So self-care. I want to talk about that. With four kids, being a foster mom, a pastor's mm-hmm. wife, I'm sure you have a lot of people who think, oh, she should be able to do this and do this thing and, you know, chair this ministry and all the things. How do you take care of yourself? What's your favorite thing?
Whew, yeah. So for me, I'm an introvert at heart. And being a pastor's wife, that's hard because I'm a learned extrovert. Okay. So I've had to learn to like speak, you know, step out of myself and speak to people when I would rather just sit there and smile and hi, wave, you know. So what I have to do to keep myself together is I have to be alone sometimes. And I mean, like every day, I got to have time where I'm completely alone. The house is like quiet, like there's no music, there's no TV, there's no phone dinging at me. I just have to be alone. And some people might think that's crazy. You know, for other people, they're like recharged by being around other people, going out for girls' night and stuff like that. I like that. And I'll do that. You know, I'll go get coffee with a girlfriend and stuff. But my big self-care thing is just alone, quiet time.
And what are you doing during that time? Are you like accomplishing things or are you just like sitting there?
You know, it's really different. So some days it might be reading a book, kind of refueling myself with something good to read. Literally, sometimes I just sit on my couch and sip my coffee and look at my mantle. I know I probably sound crazy now. They're like, woo, she's a lunatic.
No, listen, I'm introverted too. And I mean, that sounds like my dream day right now. So
Some days that's what it is. It's just sipping my coffee and watching my candle burn, you know. Other days that aren't so peaceful, you know, it's locking the bathroom door when kids have their fingers under the door, mm-hmm. you know, knocking mom, my mom. And I'll say, no, mommy, it's not available right now.
You have reached mommy's voicemail. Please leave a message. Now, do they start to kind of, they understand that as a rhythm that you have and they kind of leave you be as they get older?
Yeah. So my kids know, and I'll say, you know, mommy needs a few minutes. Just give me some time. And lately, my time, we are redoing our kitchen right now. So I'm painting kitchen cabinets. So my time has been out in the garage, you know, painting. And one of them asked if they could help paint last night. And I was like, not tonight, but maybe later this week you can.
But I hope never, because that is stressful. It's not help. But you know they want to help, but oh, it's so hard, especially when paint's involved. You're like, you're going to paint in the garage.
I know. So I promised one of them that it's my little artistic one. I promised her that she could help do the primer on the next set of cabinets. But, you know, last night for my sanity, I had to say, no, I need this time right now. Yeah. And some people might think, you know, it's crazy to say no and to set your boundaries like that. But really, it's healthy, because if you have your boundaries, you know what you need to be the best version of you. Your kids appreciate that, because then you're not having the nutty breakdowns and you're not lashing out like you do when you don't take care of yourself. For me, I know I lash out and I'm not a good mom whenever I don't allow myself to have that time.
Yeah. And you're teaching them boundaries are okay. Boundaries don't mean that you don't love a person. So hopefully you're teaching them to have boundaries.
Right.
I just tell them, I'm about to lose my brains. Does that sound like fun to you? I need some time. I've been known to be incredibly direct. So my kids are like, you go away, please, for as long as you need. We will leave you alone.
That's great.
Okay. So what is something that you just can't even stop talking about right now?
So, you know, it's probably foster care. My heart just beats with my foster son right now and with the other kids in the world that are homeless, you know? And so every conversation that I have just about with anybody, you know, people are nosy. So first they want to know how he's doing. And, you know, you can only share so much really with, if you're in the foster care world, you know, their stories are protected and, you know, there's a level of privacy there. So you can only share so much about the child and about their story. But what I can share is the need that there is for more foster parents. And I will say it's not for everyone. It's not a calling that everyone should try to fill. But if you are called, you should fill it. Mm-hmm. You know, we, for our family, we were so clearly directed and called. So it was an easy decision. I say easy. It's not easy to execute, but it's easy to know that this is what we are called to, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. There was just clarity in the decision. But yeah, I think foster care is something I just have been consumed with and I talk about a lot, maybe too much. but it's because our time is just filled with this extra person in our lives and it's our life right now.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing it?
So we are, let's see, what are we in? Not even a year yet, not even a full year, but already consumed our lives. Yeah.
What do they call you when they come to your house?
Mom, usually. Yeah. Cause my kids do, you know, so my kids call me mom and dad. And so the kids just naturally do.
Cause they're young.
Yeah. They're little. So that's just a natural response. And one thing I wanted to share real quick, something I do with my biological kids constantly is I keep tabs on where they are by asking them questions like when this child goes back to their mom or dad, when this child, you know, and then I ask my kid, you know, how are you going to feel when they go back or when their mommy gets better? What would you think if they have to go back to their mommy? And then the other question we ask is, if this child were to stay with us forever, how would you feel if we adopted them? So these two questions, you know, this scenario of they're going to go back or this scenario, we're going to keep them forever. I just want to know where they are on both ends because I want them to know the reality is both scenarios are real possibilities, you know?
Yeah.
So the real reality is they could go back soon mm-hmm. or the reality is, you know, there could be a day where we keep them forever. And I really want to know where my kids' hearts are so that we can nurture them. And if there is a problem, I know on the adoption question, because if I say, what if we're going to keep this kid forever? If there's a negative reaction there, I know, oh, my baby's struggling. You know, we need to talk about this and we need to work through this. So I think if there's anyone that is in the foster care world or thinking about adoption, those are two good questions to ask your biological kids.
Yeah, that seems really good. How involved are you with the birth parents and loving them towards being healthy, or are you really have to not be a part of that?
Yeah, so every situation is very different. You know, it depends on, you know, why the kid was taken into care, if we have any involvement with the parents or not. And so what God has really challenged me to do is to just pray for those parents and to pray that they would get healthy. And that would be the best for everyone is if this child goes back to their family and is with their biological mom and dad, that's mm-hmm. the best for everyone. It doesn't feel the best for us because we've loved the kid, you know, we want mm-hmm. them to be our own. But the reality is the best thing for any child is to have their own mom and dad, you know? Mm-hmm. So the biggest, I guess, interaction I have with them right now is just personally keeping my heart right towards them and praying for them because it's really tempting to become angry with them when you're dealing with behaviors that you know are a result of their parenting. That's really hard to deal with. And God is just challenging me rather than getting angry at them to really pray for them that they need guidance. They need help. They need, you know, maybe they need some parenting classes or they just have never been taught and they didn't have a good example. You know, you just never know the background. Mm-hmm. So as far as interacting with them, you know, sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative, depends on where they are personally. Mm-hmm. And God has just given me an overwhelming sense of peace in those interactions. And I just walk in with calmness over my heart. And I ask the Lord to only help me say words when he gives me the words to say so that I don't say words that would be taken wrong or words that would be hurtful, but that I would just say words where they would know that I sincerely care about their child. I'm not trying to take their child away from them. It's so complicated. Yeah. It's so complicated, but prayer has been my biggest thing through this.
I think I'm going to title this interview, It's Complicated. Because it is. Everything we've talked about is just complicated.
It is so complicated. But I think a lot of people can relate, even if they're not like in foster care or they haven't lost a parent, or because we all have those things in life that we just can't wrap our minds around.
God's big enough. He's a redeemer. But yeah, very complicated. Well, thank you, Micah. I really appreciate you sharing your heart.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Isn't she sweet? What a fantastic heart. Loved getting to know her. So let's unpack this whole dad thing. Dad stories without happy endings are, statistically speaking, very common. A lot of us can identify with her story and maybe obviously not the details, but it would make sense for her to have decided pastors are no good, God's no good, he's either powerless or he's cruel to let this happen. So this is where we end up seeing kids grow into adults who choose to walk away from God. And I'm sure you have heard it too. I've heard it a long time ago, but we either have the choice to get better or bitter. It's just a fork in the road that we all have, especially when there's a wound this significant in our lives. And we all have these junky, woundy, sad places, but dad not being there for his kids is just this whole other level of, I'm trying to think of a word that's not a curse word, badness. When for some reason a dad can't be there, that's one thing, but when they can be there, but they just can't be bothered, whoa, that jacks with a kid's identity in a big way. I cannot tell you how many hours I spent on the curb waiting for my own dad to come home. Oh, thinking, what could I do to be more impressive? The answer is nothing, but I still carry that into adulthood. So if that is something you can identify with and it just hurts still, well, FYI, it's probably always going to hurt on some level because that's a God-given desire, right? But I want to encourage you with a couple of scriptures that I love personally. So Psalm 68 says, God sets the lonely in families. I know that my mom did the stinking best she could, but there's still a place that, I mean, my mom can't be my dad, right? But he has provided godly men in my life. And like I said in the interview, my husband has been so healing for me to watch him parent my kids. Also my father-in-law, that guy's fantastic. And before that, in college, my dorm mom's husband, Joel, oh my gosh. That guy, I just said, listen, I don't know much about like having a dad. What is that like? And will you like do dad things? And we were both like super awkward and we didn't even know what we were even asking, but I just wanted to know there was some man that I could ask a question to if I needed to. I don't even know if I ever even asked him, but I just to know that I got a dad figure on deck should he be needed. And honestly, I didn't even know what I needed a dad for. It had been so long, right? And so, I don't know, it just gets confusing, but God promises he will put us with people, but sometimes we got to put ourselves out there, you know? Another one is Romans 8:15. It says that we have been given a spirit of sonship. That just basically means like we're in the family, in God's family, and we can call him Abba, Father, which means daddy. I gotta say, and I don't know if you can identify with this, but not having a quote unquote daddy in my life, like that kind of close whatever. See, I call it whatever. I don't even know. The idea of calling God daddy is, it is not something I understand, the concept of daddy. And so I think as we grow in our relationship with the Lord and those things like, oh, he's my father, if it just doesn't feel like enough, that's totally regular. If thinking of God as father or dad or anything doesn't feel safe or like something you even want to do, talk to him about that. Or if calling him that seems like, yeah, that's fine, it's just a title, it's not like scratching that itch deep in my soul for father, talk to him about that too. He has more for you. I promise there is more of him that he wants to show you. You just have to ask. Say, listen, like you created me with this desire. This desire was not met. You say that you can meet it, but what does that look like? I don't even want it. Help me want it. Help me just not be so awkward about the concept of father. He'll do that. He's faithful to do that. He wants you to know. He wanted you to have dad. Ephesians 1 says we're adopted as children. Again, just say, God, help me actually feel adopted. I will tell you what I love about this concept of adoption is that in the Bible times, if you were going to be adopted, that was actually a more secure status than like a natural born child, because you could kick your son out if your biological child was just a total dingbat or just a terrible guy. You could kick your son out and he was not part of the family. But if you adopted someone, you legally, they could not be disowned by you. And so if you think about it in that way, adopted kids, it's kind of the better way to go if you're into security. So Ephesians 1 says, that's us. We are adopted children. And then Ephesians 3 says that he can do more than we ask or think or imagine. So if you just feel dead inside in the area of father, he's a God of restoration and he can do way more than you even think. So ask him to and believe that he will, and then just watch and see what happens. Listen, I hope this was an encouragement to you. I think you guys are great. I love interacting with you. Go ahead and find me at Mom Struggling Well on Instagram or Facebook. Especially come by on Wednesday for Struggle Well Wednesday, where we kind of share the shenanigans going on in our own homes. When you do your shopping on Amazon, please help a sister out and use the Mom Struggling Well affiliate link. The way you do that is to go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon. Then you use the show's affiliate link. Doesn't cost you anything, but it helps me meet the costs of making this absolutely brilliant piece of content for you. And then again, if you're interested in the Wellness Revelation, sign up for that. You will not be sorry. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you that you're faithful when we're not. Thank you that you don't get sick. Thank you that you don't get sad, like depressed, sad, hopeless, sad. You definitely have feelings. And what's something that does make you sad is those of us who have a longing in our heart for a father who is a reflection of you the way that it's supposed to be. God, thank you for the ways that you've redeemed that in adoptive fathers and in godly husbands. But Lord, a lot of times the stories just don't end well. And if it's not dads, it's kiddos who've passed away or illnesses that turn out to be chronic and not acute. Finances that just won't turn around. Broken places in our own life that just seem to stay broken despite our best efforts. Lord, there's such a tension in the unresolved stories. But God, my greatest comfort is that you are in that tension. You are in those waiting places with us. We don't have to get to the other side until we find you. But God, thank you that there will be another side. And thank you that you don't leave us in the middle of this junky stuff that we're going through. You said in this world, we will have trouble. You were not kidding. That was dead on, that statement. But that you have overcome the world, so we do not have to be overwhelmed. 2 Corinthians tells us that we are pressed on every side, hard, but not crushed. We're perplexed. It's pretty confusing, but we are not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but we are not destroyed. I pray for the hearts that are broken. I pray for encouragement. I pray for families, for the lonely to be set in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.